From a prison in California to the latest crisis in Flint, Michigan, we've seen a wave of cases of Legionnaire's disease.
San Quentin State Prison is in its second week of battling an outbreak of Legionnaire's disease.
At least 71 people have been diagnosed here in New York City with 4 fatalities.
6 confirmed cases of inmates with Legionnaire's disease.
Bacteria that causes Legionnaire's disease has surfaced at a local college.
Legionnaire's disease can result in a serious and sometimes deadly form of pneumonia, and this disease has a very dramatic history with a tie to a veterans conference in Philadelphia in 1976, and it's considered one of the greatest medical mysteries of the 20th century. It required serious shoe leather detective work to figure this out. Reporter Alana Gordon connected with some of the main characters in this almost 40-year-old story, and she brings us this time capsule of a period marked by uncertainty, fear, panic, and ultimately a breakthrough for science.
The date was July 21st, 1976.
Well, that was the yearly convention of the Department of Pennsylvania.
That was when Jasper Stauffer, an airplane mechanic during World War II, arrived in Philadelphia for the statewide American Legion Convention.
And then there was a lot of wives and families there at the same time.
Stauffer, who's 90 now, recalls driving in from South Central Pennsylvania with his wife, his longtime friend and colleague Charlie Chamberlain, and Chamberlain's wife, Henrietta.
Well, we were having a good time down there.
Oh, you talk over everything that you have done all year and everything that you're going to do the next year.
That is fellow Legionnaire Eugene Eichelberger, who's now 94 and remembers meeting up with his friends there. The American Legion is a support organization for wartime vets. The annual statewide convention took place just a couple weeks after the nation's bicentennial celebration. It was really hot that summer. The convention spanned 4 days. It centered around a hotel near City Hall that had large conference spaces and air-conditioned rooms. Most of the delegates stayed there.
Yes, it was a fairly nice hotel.
The convention involved a mix of committee updates, campaigning by people running for office, and socializing. Dr. Robert Sherrar remembers passing by Legion members on his walk to work. At the time, he was Philadelphia's director of infectious diseases.
But they were just elderly men, for the most part, on the older side. They seemed jovial, happy talking to one another.
And they stood out with their signature army-like hats. On the final day, the convention wrapped up with a big parade.
When the Saints Go Marching In, that was a real popular song.
Everybody danced to the as they marched down the street.
Henrietta's husband carried a banner at the front.
It was wonderful. We had a wonderful time.
But that quickly changed on the drive back home the very same day. Henrietta's husband, Charlie Chamberlain, was usually a really energetic guy. Not during those next few hours.
Whenever we got on the turnpike at Brandywine, he went to sleep. He came home and went to bed that night and never got out of bed.
Again, Henrietta.
I was trying to get him better, but every day he got worse. Every day.
His body ached. His temperature kept going up. 104 degrees, 106 degrees. She brought him to the hospital.
After taking him in on Wednesday, Thursday they put him under ice, an ice blanket, and then Friday he was dead.
From a flu of unknown cause, doctors said.
It was a total shock for everybody.
Henrietta calls it the worst moment of her life. Her husband had died 6 days after the convention, at the age of 48. They were baffled. Stauffer recalls it was during Chamberlain's funeral that he realized his friend's death was part of something bigger.
Well, one of the other members of the headquarters staff was there, and he said that the headquarters was getting all kinds of calls from people that has got sick and passed away.
Within a week of the convention, Legion headquarters had started getting calls from around the state about members who'd fallen ill. By that following Monday, 9 days after Chamberlain fell asleep in Stauffer's car, news of this mysterious respiratory illness had spread across Pennsylvania. Dr. Sherrar was back at the health department in Philadelphia.
All of a sudden, I had four lines coming to my office. All four lines were lit up at the same time. someone said there's some sort of an outbreak going on.
The death toll logged by the state kept growing. 4 deaths, 11 deaths. They called in federal investigators from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. The man charged with overseeing that investigation was David Fraser. He's originally from Philly. He was 32 at the time, and he was director of the CDC's Special Pathogens Unit.
I spent a very intense plane ride trying to figure out how would I systematically begin to approach what looked to be a very complicated problem.
Within 48 hours of his arrival, the death toll was nearing 20, with dozens more sick. Many feared this could be the start of a swine flu outbreak, or worse, a flu pandemic like the one that had killed 50 million people in 1918. One quick aside, this would in no way reach that magnitude, but people had been primed for the next big outbreak. It triggered a massive response.
Well, this was the biggest investigation CDC undertook at the time.
Scientists working for the state of Pennsylvania and the federal government are still...
As many as 100 state and federal workers were called in. About 50 police detectives took part.
We needed to define the illness, because this was potentially a new disease.
Was it a bacteria, a virus, some sort of toxin? It was all hands on deck.
Which means we had to send physician epidemiologists out to take histories from and examine a large number of people.
State laboratories worked all night.
There were a lot of unknowns, but news reporters quickly dubbed it Legionnaire's disease.
Everybody in the state of Pennsylvania knew about it. We had worldwide recognition. We had phone calls from as far away as Australia asking us questions about it.
What did they do at the American Legion Convention?
And to find answers, Fraser and his investigative squad had to cast a wide net. There was no central list of who had even attended the convention. So they distributed questionnaires to the hundreds of Legion posts throughout the state. Police delivered the forms by car.
How easy is it to get a questionnaire completed out? How do you get 10,000 questionnaires distributed throughout the state of Pennsylvania? It takes a lot of cooperation.
And they called us into the Chambersburg headquarters, and we went over those questionnaires.
The team telephoned random samples of people who weren't even at the convention. They monitored family members of those who'd gotten sick. Early on, it became clear this was not the major flu pandemic some had feared. The disease seemed mostly confined to the Legionnaires convention. But still, Fraser says the public pressure mounted to figure this out.
This was a time when certainly infectious diseases were thought to have been largely worked out and controlled, some people thought. It challenged assumptions.
And it increased the fear. Was it something people ate or drank? Investigators were stumped. But they did have one general suspect in mind.
It was called the Grand Old Lady of Broad Street. I mean, that's what I've always heard it referred to. And she was the Grand Old Lady of Broad Street.
Sherar, again with Philadelphia's health department, is referring to the Bellevue Stratford, the hotel where many of the delegates stayed and where many of the Legionnaires' meetings took place. This wasn't just any hotel.
It's a grand old hotel.
The Bellevue, with its classy French Renaissance design, was the hotel in Philadelphia.
The artwork inside the building, you know, the columns and things, they don't do it like that anymore.
It had 19 floors and ballrooms that could accommodate thousands. It was the place where visiting royalty would stay, where local politicians were known to congregate. So could this iconic pillar of the city be the killer? Investigators flagged it in their reports. And it didn't take long for this to become a media frenzy. People canceled reservations, the place emptied out. But for Fraser, there was only one way to get to the bottom of this. After spending the first week of the investigation in the state capital of Harrisburg, he and several others joined the Philadelphia crew on the ground. And guess where they stayed?
There were rooms available, and we got a good price.
Fraser brought his team to the Bellevue. He really wanted to solve this mystery. So much so, he half-jokingly even had this thought.
There was part of me that was hoping that somebody got sick. this might give an important clue.
No, none of his staff got sick. They were pretty confident the disease didn't pose an ongoing threat. But they did really want to understand the place. Was the culprit lurking in a certain room? Fraser had his own idea. He recalls this going back through the now restored hotel nearly 40 years later.
And I thought perhaps an elevator would permit an agent to waft into the air as the elevator went up and down. But we found no evidence.
Other theories and conspiracies filled the void. Maybe the illness came from pigeons, or better yet, the lady who fed the pigeons. Some, like Jasper Stauffer, even thought they'd been attacked.
My theory is that the ones that got sick got it at the parade, that there was people there that sprayed stuff at them.
Environmental specialists combed the hotel, crawling through heating and cooling vents, collecting samples. Fraser and his team worked around the clock, reviewing the evidence, going through what's called line lists of the cases, looking for patterns. But how diseases choose their victims can be tricky. Legionnaires were mostly older men who smoked. It was thought that made some of them more susceptible to getting sick. In the end, Fraser left the hotel with really only two leads.
Yeah, we're coming up to the lobby here. It's dominated by a clock.
The more time people spent in the lobby of the hotel, the more at risk they were for contracting the disease. And the more time spent just outside the hotel, on the sidewalk, the greater the risk. Some people who had nothing to do with the convention had gotten sick. So in late August, almost a month after the convention, Fraser returned to Atlanta, the puzzle still incomplete in what had caused this mysterious airborne disease that in the final count had resulted in 34 deaths and sickened about 200 more. Back in the CDC labs, scientists continued reviewing samples and running more tests. Weeks went by. Still, no answers. It was starting to be seen as a total failure in the public's eye.
It was a very high pressure, very frustrating.
By November, Congress called Fraser and other top officials in for a hearing.
We expected to be raked over the coals for failing to solve an outbreak, and we were raked over the coals. It was a very unpleasant couple of hours.
They faced criticism for how long it took for everyone to respond when calls had come in about an illness early on. Some pointed to a lack of coordination. Did investigators even collect the right specimens? And then there was the Bellevue Stratford, Philadelphia's Grand Hotel. It had already been in financial trouble, but the outbreak was the final fatal straw. It closed that same month. Fraser, meanwhile, worried about morale. Some of the CDC scientists had spent years trying to solve other outbreaks with no success. He feared that fatigue would roll over and that any momentum would be lost.
Which I was afraid was going to set in with Legionnaire's disease too.
Did you think maybe it would take years?
Yes, I hope it would only take years.
But then around Christmas, with few leads and patients running out, Fraser's team finally caught a break. The story goes that a scientist in one of the labs who'd been working on this, Joseph McDade, was out at a holiday party.
He went to a Christmas party, he told me, and was berated by somebody who said, CDC has screwed up, yeah, they should have solved this. Well, this is terrible. That you work at CDC, don't you? And all that. And that got him a little upset.
I wasn't able to contact McDade, but going back through the old newspaper stories, it was reported that he was haunted by this. So he went back to the lab. He reviewed his materials, and this time focused on looking for something he didn't recognize, something unusual. He described the process like searching for a missing contact lens on a basketball court, with your eyes 4 inches away from the floor.
Joe's brilliance, among other things, is that he was willing to take a second look at that and think about it in a different way.
McDade zeroed in on a detail he had brushed off that he thought was a lab error. He repeated the tests. Part of this involved inoculating guinea pigs with material from Legionnaires victims to try and recreate the illness and identify what was causing it. But this time, McDade did notice something new. I'm simplifying, but once he figured out the right way to stain the sample, he saw a tiny cluster of rod-shaped objects. It was a bacteria, one that he and others had never seen before. 5.5 months after the convention, after Charlie Chamberlain's death, McDade had identified the killer. Fraser was ecstatic.
I was so excited. This was such a spectacular, it was a great weight off my shoulders and a great discovery, a very, very special discovery.
Shirar, our epidemiologist back in Philadelphia, celebrated from afar.
It was a big event.
They called the new bacteria Legionella pneumophila. Translation?
So it's an organism that loves the lung of the Legionnaires that causes Legionnaires disease.
Fraser and others went from being humiliated to congratulated. Scientists would go on to identify the bacteria in the majority of samples from victims, further confirming the discovery. And they'd confirm effective antibiotics to treat it. But wait a minute. Where had the bacteria come from? Fraser retraces his steps around the outside of the Bellevue nearly 40 years after the outbreak, which, by the way, has since reopened.
And what we think in reconstructing what happened, what we think was going on...
He looks up and points to the cooling towers on the top of the building's mansard roof.
We can't see from this ground level perch. There are cooling towers.
Fraser explains that Legionella bacteria occurs naturally in the environment, but it really likes to grow in warm water. And one ideal environment is the warm water basins and cooling systems. And when those cooling systems convert warm water into cold air, it produces a mist as a byproduct.
And that mist can come across the edge of the roof and layer down the side of a building. It's one of the curious things about airflow in cities.
Fraser says that contaminated mist in the Bellevue's cooling tower would have dropped down the side of the hotel, exposing people on the sidewalk. It also would have been sucked into a vent near the ground that leads right into the lobby, exposing people there.
See, here are some of these utility vents here. And so that would be air intake for the ventilation system of the
future Legionnaires disease outbreaks would also be directly linked to cooling systems, which means buildings can prevent the problem by disinfecting those systems. Scientists also realized the bacteria was responsible for previous unsolved outbreaks. In the public health community, the story of Legionnaires disease has turned into a sort of poster child for the power of epidemiology. I'm talking about that shoe leather detective work involved in mapping out patterns and understanding how diseases move and strike. These would be critical tools for Shirar and others just a few years later, in the early 80s, when a mysterious disease called AIDS would explode into the American consciousness. Philadelphia would be an epicenter in the fight, and Dr. Shirar would play a key role. But listening to him and Fraser talk about Legionnaires disease, I'm struck by just how tricky and complicated these investigations are. Mother Nature can throw all sorts of curveballs. Diseases are often a step ahead. And figuring it all out, managing the science and the politics, can be messy. Going back to the Legionnaires example, technically, scientists weren't actually able to identify the original bacteria in the hotel's cooling system, because by the time they'd figured out how to test for it in the environment, the hotel's cooling system had already been cleaned out. Again, Fraser.
It was a year late, and nothing grew.
Do you feel a little incomplete that you never, like, quite got the confirmation of the source?
Sure.
Fraser doesn't lose sleep over this. He points to all the evidence. But?
It would be nice to know, with more certainty, the source in the Philadelphia outbreak.
Like, how nice?
Yeah, be nice. I'd have paid extra for that. Yeah.
The discovery of Legionnaires disease also didn't lead to its demise. Scientists have learned it's not just a cooling system problem, and there are thousands of cases annually. which means its name and recurrence is a constant reminder to those with ties to 1976. Jasper Stauffer, who's 90 and still active in the Legion, says he's moved on since then, but he hasn't forgotten.
Because there was a lot of friends got sick and passed away. And Legion conventions has never been the same.
How do you feel about the name of the disease, Legionnaires' disease?
Well, I had no ill feelings about it because it happened to Legionnaires, so leave it at that name.
The name itself was controversial at first, but at least for some of these war veterans, they've come to embrace it, almost like a badge of honor. For The Pulse, I'm Alana Gordon.